today I want to read something else. I don't know how many of you have seen or read the book Shamati, from which we are studying, but this book is made of letters, well, not letters, things that Bala Sulam said, that his son, Rabbi Baruch Hashlag, Rabash, he wrote them. At the end of the book, there are letters that Rabash himself wrote to his students over many, many years. Some of those letters, well, they're all very profound, but some of them really pinpoint things about all kinds of how should I put it, intricacies about the work. Today, I want to read one of those letters. It is letter number 34. It is a short piece, and it, well, you'll see. Shamati, letter number 34. This was written in end of 1957. It starts here in the middle. About separating the love of friends from the work of God, from serving God, that I do not understand at all. Because with my father, Bala Sulam, it was never the custom to join these two things together. On the contrary, there was always a prohibition to speak words of Torah or states of smallness or greatness among the friends. Our ways have always been walk humbly, and they hardly permitted to speak words of work between the friends. And the articles of Bala Sulam speak about that in several places. But the devotion of the friends was in a character of ordinary people, that each one was concerned only with the corporeality of his friend, not with his spirituality. And all the closeness between friends was by eating meals together and drinking wine, and not through words of Torah. That is why I don't know what novelty you are trying to bring in here. It might be possible to say that until now you believed that in love between our friends, we don't need to speak and do things of the work. And now you know for certain that that is the only way it should be. Meaning walk humbly. That the form is like he who goes to his friend's celebration. He does not calculate with himself if he's in a good mood or not. We should simply join in with our friend's joy, and we should not show our friend an angry face, should not frown, but a smiling face. So it is here. The connection between friends should be that everyone will want to delight his friend, and precisely in the corporal things, because that specifically is a matter of buy yourself a friend. And make yourself a rabbi is a whole other matter. Meaning that sometimes among friends, one wants to make his friend a rabbi. But that is among friends who have careful guard. and are most meticulous, and not everyone is qualified for that. But it is not called level friends anymore. It is not what level friends demands, because there is no connection with the work, as you have written to me. Baruch Shalom Halevi, son of Baal HaSulam Zatzal. That's the end of the article. I'll read it again, and then you can ask questions. Letter number 34. About separating the love of friends from the work of God, that I do not understand at all. Because it was never the custom with Baal HaSulam to join these two things together. On the contrary, there was always a prohibition. I'll put it differently. It was always forbidden to speak words of Torah or states of smallness or greatness among the friends. And our way has always been of walk humbly. They hardly allowed to speak words of work between friends. And it is written in the articles of Baal HaSulam several times. But the relationship between friends was like ordinary people. And everyone was concerned only with his friend's corporeality, not with his spirituality. And the closeness between friends was by meals and drinking wine, not by speaking words of Torah. Therefore, I don't know what novelty you are trying to bring here. One might say that until now, you believed that love of friends does not require dealing in the matters of work and speaking in the matters of work. But now you have a clear knowledge that that is the only way it should be. By work here, he means inner work, spiritual work. Meaning, by walking humbly, that it should be as he who goes to his friend's celebration. He does not calculate with himself whether he is in a good mood or a bad mood, but he should just participate in his friend's joy, and he should not frown, but show a happy face. So it is here. The connection between friends should be that everyone will want to delight his friend, and precisely in the corporal things, because that specifically is the matter of buy yourself a friend. Make yourself a rabbi is a whole other matter, meaning that sometimes among friends, one wants to make his friend a rabbi. But that is among friends who have a careful guard and are very meticulous, and not everyone is qualified for that. But that is not called love of friends anymore. What love of friend demands, it is not what love of between friends demands. Because there is no connection with the work, as you have written to me. Baruch Shalom Alevi, son of Baal HaSulam Zatzal. That's it. Before I answer questions, just want to say a few things. That is why I always stress that the connection between us should be something very casual, something very easy. We do not start talking about, I hate the Creator today, I love the Creator today, he did this to me, he did that to me. At the most we can do is when someone is really down, when something bad happens to us, if that person who is in a bad situation is in a state where he can listen to you, then maybe you can remind him where things come from, you know, but there's none else beside him and all that. But that would be the last option. The best idea is just to make your friend laugh. That's it, really. I remember that Rav Lightman said once, that they had a problem with one of the friends who got really, really depressed, and they couldn't get him out of that. And he just stayed home and would not come out, not for work, not for anything. And he didn't make contact, and he didn't want to keep contact with anyone. And they didn't know what to do. Until finally they decided on a modus operandi, on a way of to work, on something to do. And what they did is they bought a box, a big box, with groceries, simple groceries, stuff you buy in the supermarket, vegetables, I don't know, milk, whatever, stuff like that. And they just put it outside the door. Nothing more. They didn't call him, they didn't say anything. That day there was no response from that person. But the next day, he showed up for class in the morning. These are the things that get us out of trouble. The sensation that it is worthwhile to get up, that there's something to get up for. And this is how we are supposed to work if we want to help one another. We should not be afraid of these things taking us away from the road. Why? First of all, because the whole connection between us is based on the road. That is the one common basis we all have on the spiritual path that we're taking together. So that is always in the background. You can't really forget it. And second, when a person comes out of the situation, he immediately comes back into the lessons and into the group, and the general atmosphere of the group takes him back in. And the third reason is that those simple, ordinary things cannot take us into any other direction because they do not offer us any spiritual alternative that may seem more tempting at the time. The problem that person now feels stems from the spiritual level, not from the corporate level. So what he needs is spiritual satisfaction. And he will not get that from drinking wine and eating meals. You just satisfy the beast so that it can go on. That's all you need to do. And you do not offer any other spiritual alternative, so there's no fear that he will go astray. That is why we do what we do. Now questions. So no words of Torah were spoken outside of the group study sessions. Pretty much, yes. Yes, and that's the way it is in Bnei Baruch too. Do you think we study Talmud and Sefirot outside the lesson? We never do that. Well, hardly ever. Unless there's a specific point that I want, maybe that I want to teach something, so I might ask another person, what do you say about this? What do you say about that? How do you explain this? But it's not inner work anymore. It is something else. All we do outside the lesson is try and be nice to one another. That's it. That is really all the work. Try and be nice, helpful to one another. Question. When we are with friends, isn't it risky to just socialize and not speak of serious things? I answered that, right? Okay. Another question. What is this expression, buy yourself a friend? How is it supposed to be interpreted? You buy yourself a friend. You make an effort. Either you buy him a beer, or you buy him a meal. That would be money buying. Or you make an effort. That would be effort buying. Could I start again? Yes. Okay. You just have to buy yourself a friend by investing in that friend. Either you buy him a beer or a meal or something or a present. Make it small gifts. Don't give each other, grand gifts. This is trouble. But if you want to please someone, just something small, really. Don't go into expenses here. Ice cream, why not? Sure. Ordinary stuff, as ordinary as you can get. Think only on the level of the beast. What the body would like. What would please me? What would please my stomach? You know, the lowest, most basic things. Or you don't have to buy him anything. You just make an effort. For example, if you're good with your hands, and I have a pipe that broke down in my house, and you come and fix it for me, then by that we have become friends. No matter what happens, now we're friends. Sure, vodka, whatever. You guys, you can be creative about this. There's a lot to do there. Now, you're asking, why is that? Because I want to be your friend. There's something about you that I want. And I will not get it if I'm not your friend. If I don't consider you a friend. But if I do consider you a friend, then anything you say and anything you think will be mine. I will have a feeling for it. And then your desires for spirituality will also become mine, and my vessel will grow as a result of that. There was another question here. So our challenge is to accomplish this via the internet for those who are not physically near. It's a challenge. It's a challenge, and you are probably the first or one of the first to try. I would like you to document your efforts, because what you are doing is a pioneering work. And what you are learning now is something that people use all over the world. They will have no other... None of us are experienced in that. I don't know how to teach you to become an internet group. I've never been in such a group. And nor was anyone else, for that matter. So your work is a pioneering work, definitely. But it can be done, I'm sure. I can feel you guys as a group already, or as a moral, I should say, a group in formation. But you have to work on it. There's a lot of work to do. Question. So how do we explain Kabbalah to friends outside the group in order to interest them? You don't. There is no need to. Work generally on circulation. But do not work on a personal level. Why? Because if you work on a personal level and that person doesn't like Kabbalah, it doesn't appeal to him, he might be turned off and he might start thinking bad things about you, because Kabbalah is not something you can stay indifferent to. It is a very powerful thing. And people who do not like it can become resentful to you. And you don't need that. What for? I know that every beginner wants to talk about Kabbalah all the time. He wants everyone to start studying. That's not going to happen. Not everyone is ready for it yet. We should try and keep things modest. And among ourselves, we can do whatever we like. The more we talk about how great it is, the better. But outside, if that person doesn't have to know that you're studying, don't tell him. But they do question you. They seem to notice a change in us. So you can tell them generally, yes, I'm studying Kabbalah, it's very interesting. Maybe you would like to try. Here's the URL, www.kabbalah.info. That's it. And then change the topic of the conversation. The change in you is something that you are aware of more than they are. I worked in a place. I was teaching there for maybe 10 years, 9 years. Well, 7 years before I started studying Kabbalah. And when I started studying, I was sure that everyone noticed the change in me. But as time went by, I noticed that no one was saying anything. No one was even hinting anything. No one was behaving differently with me. So I said, I'll just keep it to myself. I will not have to explain anything. And to this day, they don't know that I'm doing this. I quit there. I'm not working anymore. But for years, I worked there, and they didn't know. And it was fine. I had a wonderful working relationship with them. In other places where I did talk about it, it didn't turn out so well. I was actually fired twice. One of the times, I'm pretty sure it was because of Kabbalah. More questions? What about discussing the content of the lesson after class? It is a part of class. You are continuing the class. You're discussing it among yourself. It's okay. Personally, I think that it would be best for you to discuss it, men and women apart. That would be helpful for you. But you can certainly continue to discuss it. You can separate the class afterwards for men and women. Debbie, you like the idea, huh? I don't know. Ask Susan and Tony how they solve that problem.